Job chapter 9, this is Job's response to Bildad. Then Job answered, "Truly I know that it is so, but how can man be just with God?" And that, of course, is the question, that Job was righteous before God, and God himself said that, and yet he was still mortal, and he was still suffering, and was going to die. So how can man be justified before God? That's the big question, really, of the book of Job, and it's answered, I think, ultimately in Jesus, as Paul explains in Romans, that if we are in Christ, if we're baptized into Christ, we abide in Christ, we are seen by God as if we are right, as if we are righteous. If he, that's God, wishes to contend with him, that's man, he can't answer him one time in a thousand. Accusation after accusation, man can't answer before God, because we are sinners. God, who is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and prospered? He removes the mountains and they don't know it. When he overturns them in his anger, he shakes the earth out of its place, its pillars tremble. He commands the sun and it doesn't rise, and seals up the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the back of Yam, the sea monster. He makes the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, the constellations of the stars. He does great things past finding out. Yes, marvelous things without number. Behold, he goes by me, and I don't see him. He passes on also, but I don't perceive him. So I think Job's now starting to get nearer to the truth. He began, in God's eyes, as an upright, righteous man, and yet he's suffering. And his friends say, yeah, that's because you sinned. And he knows that, no, it's not like that. And so now he's coming to this conclusion that, well, actually God is so great, of course he does great things that are past finding out. So he's admitting, I do not understand why I am suffering. I do not understand why this is happening. And that is humility, to be able to recognize that. Whereas if you're proud, you'll be saying, no, but that's not fair, that God's unjust, why is this happening? Well, why these things happen is partly to test our humility. God will not withdraw his anger. The cohorts of Rahab stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose my words to argue with him? Though I were righteous, yet I wouldn't answer him. I would make supplication to my judge. So he's saying, well, I'm not going to argue back with God, telling him that he's unjust. I just have to accept what's happening. If I had called and he had answered me, yet I wouldn't believe that he listened to my voice, for he bruises me with a storm and multiplies my wounds without cause. Well, that's right. That's just what God says to the Satan. You are moving me to destroy him without cause. But Job recognizes that this is God doing this, not some supernatural Satan being. If it is a matter of strength, behold, he is mighty. If of justice, who, says he, can summon me? Who can argue with God and accuse him of being unjust? Though I am righteous, my own mouth shall condemn me. Though I am blameless, it shall prove me perverse. I am blameless, but I don't respect myself. I despise my life. So I think he's agreeing with God's judgment of him. You know, God says I'm blameless and upright. Okay, fair enough. But I know that I'm also still a sinner who is suffering. It is all the same. Therefore, I say that he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourge kills suddenly, he will mock at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it be not he, then who is it? That little phrase of Job's, if it's not him, that's God, then who is it? Who's doing this? I think that really shows for all time that there is no personal Satan monster that is against God who is bringing our suffering. Because Job comes to the conclusion that there's nobody else who could be doing this apart from God. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away, they see no good. They've passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that swoops on the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and cheer up. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that you will not hold me innocent. In other words, just forgetting about these issues is also not an answer. If I wash myself with snow and cleanse my hands, yet you will plunge me in the ditch. My own clothes shall abhor me. So he's saying that, well, I'm not perfect, and I can never be perfect totally before God. And yet he also realizes that he is not the big-time sinner that he's being made out to be by the friends. So he can understand his dilemma. God is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. There is no umpire between us that might lay his hand on us both. But of course there is now for us in Jesus. And Job comes to long for this mediator between God and himself. And that longing is really effectively a longing for Jesus, who of course didn't exist at the time. But now we have that umpire between us and God. Let God take his rod away from me. Again and again, he sees God as the author and the origin of his sufferings. Let his terror not make me afraid. Then I would speak and not fear him. But I am not in such a position within myself.